Good afternoon, 4:30 and 74 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Ellen Barnett.
It's really hurt our town. That building sitting there vacant really hurts all the businesses in your town. And so this is why I think this is so important.
House Budget Committee Chairman Rick Rand says tax credits for historic preservation can make a big difference to a city's downtown.
Two people were killed in a fire in Huntington this morning.
And the pilot escapes injury following a crash Sunday at the Ashland Regional Airport.
In sports, the MSU baseball team signed 7 recruits.
Bud Luke has the stocks.
Showers and thunderstorms tonight. Lows will be in the upper 60s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
Two people are dead following a fire this morning in Huntington. According to WSAZ, the blaze at a house in the 3400 block of Chase Street claimed the lives of 72-year-old Juanita Prince and 74-year-old Martin Prince. The fire reportedly began about 10:30. The cause is still under investigation.
WBOY is reporting that the pilot walked away from the crash of a small experimental aircraft at the Ashland Regional Airport in Worthington. The mishap occurred Sunday morning around 10 o'clock. The Huntington station says the plane experienced electrical problems and that the front landing gear would not engage. The nose of the craft was said to have skidded along the runway and came to rest just off the pavement.
A Shelbyville man has been arrested by troopers from the Moorhead Post of the Kentucky State Police in connection with a double murder in Wolf County in June. 24-year-old Devontae Hall is now in custody at the Three Forks Regional Detention Center in Beattyville. Hall was apprehended in Mount Sterling over the weekend. He's one of two men charged in the killings of Brandy Davidson and Devin Payton. Arrested earlier was 28-year-old Eugene Wade, also of Shelbyville.
A head-on collision in Fleming County on Saturday has claimed 2 lives. Kentucky State Police identified the victims as 40-year-old Robin Willoughby of Carlisle and 23-year-old Shane Day of Owingsville. Both were dead at the scene. Troopers say the crash happened on Mount Sterling Road during the pre-dawn hours.
An Eastern Kentucky man accused of stealing 10 vehicles in a crime spree spanning less than 2 weeks has been arrested. Here's KNN's Kurt Darling.
Clay County Sheriff Kevin Johnson tells the Lexington Herald Leader that the series of crimes allegedly committed by Timothy Lawson sounds like a novel. Johnson says the Clay County man is accused of stealing the vehicles since July 21st. Officers arrested Lawson on Saturday when his stepfather detained him. His charges include first-degree robbery, kidnapping an adult, and first-degree wanton endangerment. I'm Kurt Darling.
Hoyd County Coroner Mark Hammond says too many people believe that the opiate antidote Narcan will always prevent fatal overdoses from heroin. However, he says that's just not the case. Narcan is a lifesaver, says Hammond, but some of the heroin being distributed is now much more dangerous and powerful than it was decades ago.
And Narcan does reverse opiate overdoses. The problem is Narcan's not the cure-all. So I think a lot of people, now that Narcan's been talked about so much, they think that Narcan's going to save everything, and it's not.
Hammond says an extremely potent batch of heroin was being sold in the region last week and resulted in 10 overdoses in Boyd County during a 12-hour period. One person died.
Tax credits that encourage rehabilitation of historic downtown properties pay dividends many times over. That's what the founder of a Florida-based urban developer told a panel of state lawmakers in Frankfurt this afternoon. Steve Michael of Hudson Holdings testified before House and Senate members of the Appropriations and Revenue Committee. He says when an old building is renovated in the core of town, it often leads to other investment in the same neighborhood. Michael says there's great potential for that all over Kentucky.
Kentucky has many, many more assets than its neighboring states, and it's rich in heritage, and there's many main streets that we look at, Paducah, Owensboro, Greensburg, Newport, just to name a few, that have amazing assets that could utilize these state tax credits. The impact of these smaller main streets are far greater as a percentage than the big metropolitan towns.
The National Trust for Historic Preservation says tax credits for the restoration of old buildings increase the value of the structures and produce additional property tax revenue for cities.
House Budget Committee Chairman Rick Rand says a bill he sponsored this year to extend Kentucky's tax credit program for historic preservation did not make it through the General Assembly. However, the Bedford Democrat says he'll continue pushing for the legislation. Rand is convinced it can make a big difference in rural areas.
Especially our river towns, I think. Newport, I think about Paducah, Owensboro, you know, towns that probably have a lot of historic structures. I know even my little town of Bedford has a building there. There's been a grocery store there for nearly 100 years, and it fell through, and we have just really struggled to figure out how do we get somebody in that building, what are they going to do.
Rand says when an old building is vacant in a Kentucky city for an extended period of time, it hurts the whole town.
The end is in sight for a major repair project along Moorhead's North Wilson Avenue. Workers for the last few months have been shoring up a retaining wall that protects a section of the street from a creek that runs parallel to it. Mayor Jim Tom Trent expects the effort to be completed before classes start at Moorhead State University in the next couple of weeks. He says that's important since the work is being done near North Wilson's intersection with McClure Circle.
Large MSU student population lives there, and that will increase the traffic flow probably at least 40-50% when it comes back. So we told them that it has to be done by then, and fortunately it looks like that's going to happen. I don't have a date yet, but we hope to have it instead of the 1st of August. We look like it's going to be done by finished, completed by the middle of August before MSU gets back in.
The project's total cost is $300,000, but Trent says thanks to some state assistance, it will cost the city no more than half of that amount.
Friday is the deadline for Rowan County residents to turn in the surveys they received last month, seeking their input on the area's recreational needs. A total of 12,000 questionnaires were sent out by the joint Moorhead-Rowan County Recreation Committee. City Parks and Recreations Director David Morris is a member of that panel. According to Morris, the results of the surveys will be shared with the public this fall.
The students at Moorhead State that are collecting this data is going to get back with us in terms of, you know, what the priorities are and what it seems to be that what the citizens' priorities are. And then from that point on, you know, we're going to have to meet back as a group and come back together and form a plan as to how we take that information forward.
Morris says after that, the interlocal committee will present its plan for the future of recreation in the area to officials from the city and county.
Ashland City Commissioner Marty Goode thinks his city should develop a small park for pets along 22nd Street, where an ice skating rink once stood. He says the city's park board will consider the idea August 10th.
I think it would be a great idea to accommodate our dog owners with a small dog park over in the corner by the 22nd Street entrance. This was used for a couple years for an ice skating rink, and you know, you just try some things and then some things don't work. So the ice skating rink kind of ran its course and it didn't work, and so we removed it.
If the idea gets the blessing of the park board, Goode says it'll go back to the city commission for final approval. He says creating the park would not require much expense.
And Elliott County Prison has received good reviews. MSPR's Chaz Jenkins reports.
According to the Ashland Independent, after a recent reaccreditation audit, the American Correctional Association gave the Little Sandy Correctional Complex a perfect score. In the past, the facility has received a 100% on every audit since 2007, and this year is no exception. This audit marks the fourth accreditation for the prison. The ACA review includes more than 500 national standards that cover such things as security, operational, and programming aspects of a prison and requires constant monitoring and quality control checks. For Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
A Moorhead State police officer injured in a campus motorcycle accident is back at work. Sergeant Anthony Dalton sustained head and arm injuries on May 23rd when he lost control of his cycle and it struck an embankment, throwing him 30 feet into a parking lot. After needing several weeks to recover and rehabilitate, Dalton says he's feeling pretty good. While he's been on light duty with the department since his recent return, Dalton hopes to get back into regular shift work very soon.
I've been to the doctor. I think I've got one more big appointment left, but they've already checked it out once. They're just kind of doing an extra check on it. And whenever I get that done, I should be clear to go.
Which he thinks could happen as early as next week. While Dalton doesn't remember much of what happened the night of the accident, he says he got lucky. He points out that his motorcycle narrowly missed hitting a fence or going into a nearby woodland area.
Kentucky's senior senator is telling voters they face a big decision in this fall's presidential election, even if they don't care much for either candidate. Republican Mitch McConnell spoke to members of Greater Louisville Incorporated on Friday. He says the election comes down to a choice between the status quo and change.
Put aside the personalities and look at the facts. And I think you ought to vote for Hillary Clinton if you believe this is as good as America can be. If you're satisfied with the last 8 years and you think America needs four more years just like the last eight, that's a smart vote.
But McConnell says Kentuckians who aren't satisfied with the way things are should pick Donald Trump.
The MC of this week's Fancy Farm political picnic in western Kentucky says Governor Matt Bevin will probably use the occasion to tell people how important it is that Republicans gain control of the House of Representatives this year. Scott Jennings is a Republican political analyst. Jennings says that'll be one of three things likely to get the most attention at the event in Graves County on Saturday.
It's probably a great platform for him to talk about why he needs a Republican House to help move his agenda forward, just like it's probably on some Democrat to take up the mantle for the House Democrats about why we have to have divided government. So I expect to hear a little bit about that battle for the state House in addition to what we're hearing on the presidential and Senate campaigns.
Jennings appeared Sunday on KET's One-to-One with Bill Goodman. Fancy Farm is a fundraiser for St. Jerome's Parish.
Democratic State Senator Robin Webb says coal and gun control are two issues likely to hurt the chances that Hillary Clinton can win Kentucky in this fall's presidential election. However, the Carter County lawmaker doesn't rule it out either. Webb says a lot can happen between now and November. Regardless, she doesn't think the battle between the Democrat Clinton and Republican Donald Trump will have much of an impact on other down-ballot races.
I think politics are local. I think most members of the House represent their people like I did. I was a Democrat representing a Republican district for 10 years. And as long as you represent your people and all politics are local, it's still hard to beat an incumbent.
Kentucky Republicans are hoping they can take control of the House of Representatives following the November election.
And finally this afternoon, after holding a forum on hunger in Rowan County last week, Kentucky Agriculture Commissioner Ryan Quarles is encouraging more people from the region to become engaged with the issue. He says his hunger task force is traveling the state, exploring food insecurity, and can use all the input and assistance possible.
If you'd like to get involved, please visit our website at kyagr.com/hunger. Find us on Facebook or on Twitter. We want this to be an all-hands-on approach. This issue is too serious for one organization or for one group of people to tackle.
Quarles says the task force will be producing a report with recommendations on how Kentucky can get more nutritious food in the hands of hungry citizens.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for the rest of the afternoon, there's an 80% chance of widespread showers and thunderstorms. Tonight it'll be mostly cloudy. There's a 40% chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms. Lows will be near 68, and look out for patchy valley fog. Tuesday will be mostly sunny with isolated showers and thunderstorms, highs near 85 degrees. That chance of rain is at 20%. Tuesday night will be partly cloudy with lows in the upper 60s. Your Wednesday will be mostly sunny with a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Highs will be near 87. And Wednesday night will be partly cloudy with lows in the lower 70s. Taking a look at temperatures around the region, it is currently 77 degrees in Ashland, 73 degrees in Flemingsburg, 79 degrees in Inez, 83 degrees in Lexington, 76 degrees in Winchester, and it is 74 degrees here in Moorhead.
445, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio, and it is good to have your company on this Monday afternoon. On our feature segment, the Bluegrass community is mourning the loss of yet another one of its heroes. Ellen Barnett has the story.
Bluegrass pioneering legend Melvin Goins passed away at the age of 83 while on tour in Canada last week. Following the recent death of longtime friend and fellow bluegrass legend Dr. Ralph Stanley, a West Virginia native, Goins grew up in coal country, listening to early bluegrass music on a battery-powered radio by the light of a kerosene lamp with his eight brothers and one sister. Goins credited much of his success to his humble upbringing.
We used to go to people's houses and play music, free, walk 2 miles on a dirt road there and 2 miles back. And we were so poor. When we was growing up, we never had instruments to play. So I didn't tend to let it outdo me. I always looked the way the river run. I always had a positive attitude about anything that I ever done.
Goins' love for music and the influence of the musicians he grew up around helped drive his hope for the future, despite his circumstances.
All of my people came from old-time mountain music. They was all good fiddle players and good band pickers and good dancers. So I guess a little bit of it rubbed off on me. When I got in this business, I never thought I would stay in it. But I had to leave West Virginia at that time because the money was thin. I was making $12 a week to live off of, $6 for rent, and $1 a day to eat off of.
Melvin Goins teamed up with his brother Ray to create the Goins Brothers Band as teenagers, which they both used as a jumping-off point for their bluegrass careers. The brothers worked with numerous groups, including the Lonesome Pine Fiddlers, Bill Monroe, the Osborne Brothers, and the famous Dr. Ralph Stanley. The Goins brothers reformed in the latter part of their careers, and they performed and recorded together for years until Ray's death from cancer in 2007. Melvin Goins spoke with West Virginia Public Broadcasting when he and Ray were inducted into the Kentucky Music Hall of Fame in 2013, saying he wouldn't quit until they throw the dirt in his face.
When I go on the stage, it just turns my life, it just turns the juice up. I love people. I'm like Bob Hope, thanks for the memories. I love people. To set me down would be just like putting me in jail if I had to quit. So as long as I can go, if I have to crawl, ride a wheelchair, I'm still going to support and play music that I started when I was just a young boy, 20 years old.
Goins was a member of the board of directors of Moorhead State University's Kentucky Center for Traditional Music and continued to support bluegrass and old-time music until his death. For Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Ellen Barnett.
448, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. All things considered from NPR at 5 o'clock, and Tanner has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. Located at 325 Triplett Street near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center offers a 24-hour drop-off service for a variety of recyclables, including cardboard, aluminum and steel cans, one and two numbered plastics, books, newspaper, magazines, mixed and shredded paper. The Community Recycling Center is a partnership of the City of Moorhead, Rowan County, and Moorhead State University. More information at 784-1250.
Racking up the roster. Good day to you. From Moorhead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Tanner Boyd. The Moorhead State baseball team has added seven signees for the 2017 campaign. The list of guys joining Coach Mike McGuire's Eagles include JUCO transfer pitchers Josh Baumgart, Kyle Cantu, and J.C. Hatcher, along with infielder pitcher Josh Baker, infielders Eli Bogis and Chase Teeter, along with outfielder Marion McLean.
Really excited about it. I think we got a good group to go with the nine we signed in the early signing period. I mean, that's 16 kids coming in, new players in the program. So really excited about it. It could be, you know, probably as athletic and talented a team as I've had. We'll see if we're the best team. You know, that's what the goal is.
McGuire says the latest crop of signees will help replenish MSU in the wake of losses to graduation and the Major League Draft. The Lexington Legends are continuing their road trip this evening. Lexington is coming off a four-game series in Charleston, where they only managed to win one of four. Tonight, they head to Rome to start a three-game series. Game time is scheduled for 7. The Legends will be back in town Thursday to start a series with Hickory. The Cincinnati Reds have today off before opening a home set Tuesday evening against St. Louis. Meanwhile, manager Brian Price tells Fox Sports Ohio that he was pleased with Homer Bailey's return during Sunday's 3-2 win Sunday in San Diego. In his first start since undergoing Tommy John surgery in April of last year, the right-hander got the win, going 5 2/3 innings, allowing 2 runs on 4 hits while striking out 6 Padres.
You know, really crisp, worked his way through the first inning, put some balls in play. Jankowski leading off the first pitch, base hit. Always puts you kind of in a spot because he runs so well. And so they were able to create a run scoring opportunity in the first, and then for the next 4 innings, I mean, he was really locked in. Some good quality pitches with his fastball and slider in particular.
The Reds, by the way, have won 5 straight series. In other Reds news, the New York Mets have acquired all-star outfielder Jay Bruce from Cincinnati for infielder Dilson Herrera and minor league left-hander Max Wattel. The 29-year-old Bruce is hitting .265 with 25 homers and a National League leading RBIs. He made the NL All-Star team for the third time. Bruce homered in 5 straight games in late July, a career best. A downside has been his career-long penchant for following a torrid streak with an incredibly cold one. Work at the Cincinnati Bengals preseason training camp continues outside Paul Brown Stadium. Things are a little different this year for quarterback Andy Dalton, who's working with a new offensive coordinator in Camp Zampezi and a new quarterback's coach in Bill Lazor.
I've been talking with Bill a lot. I'm always asking him his opinion on things, different, trying to get his aspect because, you know, I have been around Zamp for a long time. I feel like the offense, I've got a good grasp of it, so I'm always just trying to find different areas where I can, you know, kind of take my mind and think about things. But, you know, it's been good so far.
Lazor came to Cincinnati after a stint as the offensive coordinator for the Miami Dolphins, where he helped develop young quarterback Ryan Tannehill. No matter who becomes Round County's new quarterback, he'll have to learn how to throw the ball out of the Vikings' new flexbone offense. However, Coach Gene Peterson says it's not as complicated as you might think.
It's all dealing with play action, but, you know, over the years I used to throw the ball quite a bit too, so it's really worked out well, you know, where I don't have to put people in motion. We can still throw our quick game. We can still formation people out of trips and those type of formations and still throw the football when we needed to.
Right now, junior Kelly Norris and sophomore Cade Mullins appear to be the lead contenders to become Rowan's starting quarterback this fall. The University of Kentucky has plans for building another new athletic facility. MSPR's Braxton Howard has more.
The University of Kentucky has announced plans to build a new $20 million tennis center. The current tennis facility has been home to the Wildcat tennis program for over 30 years. The new facility will be placed where the current UK baseball stadium sits after a new $32 million baseball stadium is built closer to the soccer and softball complex on campus. No timetable has been set for either project. UK just opened a $45 million training facility for the football program. For Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Braxton Howard.
Chris Buescher waited out a foul-weathered end on pit road to become a stunning winner in today's Sprint Cup race at Pocono Raceway. Buescher, who drives for underfunded Front Row Motorsports and hadn't finished better than 14th all season, was the beneficiary of bad weather on a rare Monday race that had been postponed by rain. Buescher will need to find a way to wrangle a spot in the top 30 over the final 5 races before the chase for the championship field is set. He is still 6 points behind David Reagan for 30th. And finally, this afternoon, just days ahead of the Olympic Games, the waterways of Rio de Janeiro are as filthy as ever. A study commissioned by the Associated Press finds that the waters are still contaminated with raw human sewage, teeming with dangerous viruses and bacteria. The situation puts some 1,400 athletes at risk for getting violently ill in the water competitions. One expert has this advice for travelers to Rio: don't put your head underwater. Still, the chief spokesman for the Rio Olympics says he can guarantee, in the name of the Rio 2016 Olympics, that the athletes can compete in safety. Mario Andrada was responding today to the publication of the latest water study. And that's a check of sports for Morehead State Public Radio. I'm Tanner Boyd reporting.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Morehead State football season tickets are now available, with 6 home games on the schedule, including Campbell, Marist, Jacksonville, and the Virginia Military Institute at 6 p.m. on Saturday, September 10th. Tickets from the Morehead State Athletic Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities closed mixed in choppy trade the first day of the month amid falling oil prices while investors digested economic data. And at the close of the Dow Industrials finished with a modest loss of 27.73 at 18,404.51. The S&P 500 was down 2.76 at 2170.84. The NASDAQ Composite managed a gain of 22.06 as biopharmaceutical stocks were particularly strong, with the NASDAQ finishing at 5184.2. New York Stock Exchange breadth was roughly 17 to 12 in favor of losing stocks over winners. Oil prices were under pressure, with U.S. crude futures settling 3.7% lower at $40.06 a barrel after briefly dipping below $40. And on the data front, the ISM Manufacturing Index came in at 52.6, slightly below the estimate of 53. Any number above 50 indicates expansion. The market PMI Manufacturing Index reading for July came in at 52.9, and construction spending for the month of June declined 0.6%. And in earnings news, drilling contractor Diamond Offshore reported earnings per share before the bell that were 3 cents above estimates, while movie theater operator AMC Entertainment missed expectations by 2 cents. Overseas, Asian equities were mostly higher, with the Nikkei 225 up about 0.4%. However, Chinese stocks fell broadly, with the Shanghai Composite shedding nearly 1% as traders digested Chinese PMI data. And in Europe, stocks traded mostly lower, with the German DAX falling 0.07%, and Britain's Financial Times 100 actually rose 0.03%. European banks, meanwhile, fell as traders reacted to banking stress tests in the region. Gold futures for December delivery settled $2.10 higher at $1,359.60 an ounce. And among your Dow Jones industrial stocks, the best performers were Apple and Pfizer, and your Dow losers were Exxon Mobil and Chevron. And in the S&P 500, your best performers were Biogen and Alexion Pharmaceuticals, and your S&P losers were Diamond Offshore and Transocean. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated up $2.06 at $115.30, CSX down 27 cents at $28.06, Marathon Petroleum down 60 cents at $38.79, AEP down 2 cents at $69.28, AK Steel down 30 cents at $6.26, and Community Trust Bank was down 10 cents, finishing at $34.68. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Taking one last look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area tonight. Expect mostly cloudy skies with a 40% chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms. Lows will be near 68. There will be some patchy valley fog late that will stay until Tuesday morning. Mostly sunny skies for the rest of Tuesday with a 20% chance of isolated showers and thunderstorms. Highs will be near 85 degrees. Tuesday night will be partly cloudy with lows in the upper 60s. Wednesday will be mostly sunny with a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Highs will be near 87. And Wednesday night will be partly cloudy with lows in the lower 70s. It is currently 77 degrees in Ashland, 73 degrees in Flemingsburg, 79 degrees in Inez, 76 degrees in Winchester, and it is currently 74 degrees here in Morehead.
And that does it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Baraz, Tanner Boyd, Samantha Morrill, Courtney Howell, Ashley Chapman, and Chaz Jenkins. From the Kentucky News Network, Kurt Darling. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202 BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Ellen Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.